Hey, there's something different about my mango pineapple smoothie.
Really? My caramel frappe tastes fine.
Nah, something's definitely different.
No difference, other than I got them for half off because I ordered on the app.
Well, that explains it.
Explains what?
How things seem to taste so much better when you're getting a sweet deal.
Okay.
Right now at Mickey D's, get 50% off any size McCafe beverage when you order through the McDonald's app.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid one time per day. Visit McDonald's app for details. Download and registration required.
Hey, y'all. This is Amanda Shaw, and you're listening to Floors Truly with Tina and Jeff.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Georgette with Floors Truly. Hey, my friend, happy Insanity Tuesday. How are you doing today?
It's a day. Like, it's been a day today. So, there you go.
It has been a day. It has been a week. It is only Tuesday. We have three more days till the weekend.
Yep.
So before we start the show, I just want to kind of say my thoughts and prayers goes to everybody out in New Orleans and Araby, St. Bernard Parish that was affected by the tornado. When you joined us last week, we were talking about it. I was actually nervous about the show coming out because we were under a tornado watch not long after that. An EF3 tornado started out on West Bank of Jefferson Parish, went through the lower Ninth Ward in St. Bernard Parish in Araby. And there was a lot of damage. There was only one person that was killed, which is still one too many. It was a young boy. 25 years old, but miraculously no one else was killed. To me, it's crazy that if that a tornado of that magnitude, because you don't see that run through major cities. It's something that usually happens to rural areas. And, you know, we were warned that there could be possibility of severe weather, but it just was really shocking. So for all the people out there and their families and friends that have been affected, I know people, you know, my heart goes out to them because a lot of these people just are recovering from the hurricane last year.
Right.
And it's hard. It's hard to see that. We have severe weather again tomorrow. I hope this is not another occurrence. You know, we're doing what we can to try to help. I'm going to put something together in our neighborhood. I love to do that. We did it with Ida. We had so much stuff that they actually came and picked it up from us with a trailer because they said, look, don't even bother coming and putting it in your car. We'll come and get it from you, which was awesome. I did a neighborhood drive. I expected like a box of stuff. I had 10 large boxes of items. Amazing. And our team, our saints, our beloved saints, they held a drive on Friday.
They did.
With the Second Harvest Food Bank, and it was a huge success. They're doing their part too. So we're all just help each other out and see what new beginnings we can get them to. And so speaking of new beginnings, we've got a new backup quarterback.
Sure do. We sure do.
I have something in common with him.
Yes, you do. That's funny.
The Cincy Ginger, Andy Dalton. We basically swapped out backup quarterbacks.
We did. So, it's so weird.
It really is. Like, I'm like, wait a second. Wait, didn't Trevor just sign with the Bears? So Andy Dalton, who I always call him the Cincy Ginger because that's where I remember him from. But I mean, he was last with Chicago as their backup quarterback. He signed with the Saints for a one-year deal for $6 million with $3 million guaranteed. As y'all know, Trevor Siemian just signed a deal with the Bears. So yeah, we've got our backup quarterback now. It was announced that Taysom Hill is going back to that tight end / Swiss Army right knife role. So
love it.
Yeah. The ginger.
I think it's perfect.
The ginger.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's perfect. I think that Andy Dalton, for whatever everyone wants to say about him, he did a fine job, not an incredible job, but he did a fine job in Cincinnati. I would say that he didn't necessarily always have the weapons. Yes, everyone come and argue with me. I'm okay with it.
No, they didn't. They're not what they are now.
No, they weren't. And so, you know, he did the best he could with what he had. And I feel like it's a fine backup. I liked how Dennis explained it. Like, if anything happens to Jameis, whatever. I wished he hadn't said that, but okay, he did.
I know.
We have we have a really strong backup. I kind of feel like he was slamming our previous backups, but Dennis, get a Twitter so I can tweet you this stuff. Anyway,
he knows better. He knows what's going to happen if he gets a Saints Twitter and the first time something doesn't go right, he'll deactivate his account. So he's just eliminating that whole process of wasting time and focusing on the team right now. And so I'm not getting a Twitter. I can promise you that. He's like, you guys are too savage, too petty, and # petty and proud. Okay. That's what we are. So we're from NOLA. We've got voices, especially me, Italian girl, redhead, and from New Orleans. You got triple threat.
I know it.
I'm gonna say, I'm gonna speak my piece.
Right? You're so funny. But there we have it. Andy Dalton.
Ex-NC Jameis.
That's correct.
But speaking of quarterbacks, so right now our depth chart looks like Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, and Ian Book. Poor Ian Book. But yesterday, Jabu did his first meeting with the New Orleans media. And I say meeting because it wasn't in person. I mean, he spoke with them, I guess, via Zoom, like we're doing now. Mm-hmm. But he had an opportunity to talk to the media. And it was, I'm going to tell you this. I was not, honestly, when we first signed him, the happiest about it. And he has always said and done the right things over the last year. And I feel like he's matured a lot. I'm really super excited to see what he can do on the field, a full season and healthy. He addressed some of the issues and concerns mm-hmm. with the team. As y'all know, we signed a 2-year deal with him and he came out flat out and said, look, I wanted to be back in New Orleans. I love the team. I love the city. Yep. I was happy to be able to work with Sean, but he'll miss him, but he has faith in DA and he's excited to work with Pete and Ron. And he went in about a little bit about his rehab, that he feels good and he's ahead of schedule. This was the line that got me. I'm excited to continue to grow as a quarterback, to grow as a leader and grow in this offense. Mm-hmm. Not somebody, he didn't come out and say, well, I know what I can do and what I can bring. He kept saying to grow, mm-hmm. To grow as a player and a leader. To me, that's what got me. I said, this is our guy. I never doubted it. Like, I mean, we were advocating to have him re-signed. Like yes. I said, initially I had, you know, questions when he first signed here, but I haven't as of last, you know, the middle of last season and now. This is our guy. He is our QB1. Mm. So if there's anybody out there in Saints Twitter world or whatever social media platform you use and you still feel like this isn't the guy, he has walked the walk. He has talked the talk. We've just not yet to see what he can do fully this season. Yeah. And I can tell you this. I did a podcast last night, was talking about it. Look at his numbers over 7 games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only 7 games, but look at those 7 games. And had he stayed on that track for the whole season, mm-hmm. you can't argue that.
Nope.
At all. So I want to see a full 17-game season. I want to see him healthy. We're going to have our offensive weapon back in Michael Thomas. I want to see Jabu air it out. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. Are you? I know you're excited, right? Oh, I know listen. You're super excited.
Yeah, you know it. So listen, so we diverge a little bit on the beginning of Jameis coming here. I was a fan of Jameis when he was in Tampa. I remember going to a game in Tampa and actually talking to the fans and saying, I'm here to see Jameis. And they couldn't believe it. That was back in Lovie Smith days. I also loved Lovie. So I was just excited to see them both together. I mean, they lost that game brutally. And it was awesome. It was unfortunately also Marcus Colston's last game. But I've been a fan. I was excited when he came. I was sad to lose Teddy. But I just think that he has a lot to offer. And his presser was so great. He was very humble. You know, the way he said, I can do everything your favorite quarterback can do. Hopefully I'm your favorite quarterback. I mean, any hoot. I love the kid. I'm excited to see what he can do. He's very excited that he doesn't have to fight for the QB1 spot this year like he did last year. So he said he wasn't able to build that camaraderie like he liked to, but he said, I'm ready to go into training camp. I'm ready to do it all. So I'm just excited for him. I really think he's going to do a great job. And
I agree.
I just feel like he's the right fit. You're right. He's just so.
He just fits. Like Teddy just fits. And I think that's part of the reason why I wasn't warming to Jameis in the beginning.
Because that's fair.
I loved Teddy so much. Yes, and Teddy fit like a puzzle piece here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as someone who saw, and I say saw, not in person, but I saw online his injury, like not long after it happened. Everybody was tweeting about it. They were saying players mm-hmm. were almost in tears. For a guy who mm-hmm. almost lost his career and to come back and then come here. And it's like he just so fit in and he was fun and he got the crowd riled up. I mean, he just knew what to do to get the Saints fans riled up in the dome. And I love that. So, you know, when we didn't retain him, I was like, oh, so it was kind of like, I guess, you know, Jameis came in and I was just like, really?
I know.
And then, of course, the 30 for 30 thing. But then after, you know, understanding, people keep saying, well, are you worried about the interceptions? He like came out and said, hey, look, I had a vision issue. And if anybody's ever had LASIK, I know people that have LASIK.
So I have had it.
I used to get glasses like every year. Her mm-hmm. prescription would change to the point where it was like, I mean, she was forced to get LASIK because it was getting so bad. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what happened to him. And yeah, we only saw him in 7 games, but look at those 7 games. Look what he did. 14 for 3. I'm excited. I'm really excited. And like I said, he seems excited. And I like the fact that he's ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that we've been seeing his workout videos. It makes me feel really confident that, you know, he is, you know, because we hear, they say, oh yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Doesn't necessarily, you know, because we're not privy to the truth a lot of times. I mean, we talked about Patty Sean. He's got a leg, you know, he's got a leg injury or a footing. What's wrong with him? You know, oh, he's got a foot. Uh-huh. Well, I hope he's got a foot. I hope he's got 2 feet. But we're never privy to the information of what's going on. You know, like, where is he really? Like, we didn't know for a while what was going on with Michael Thomas. That's why everybody would think was shocked when it came out, well, he's not going to be ready for the season. I believe Jameis. We see his videos. We see what he's doing. It's excited every time we get one from his management account because, mm-hmm. you know, we get to see him and it's off season right now. Mm-hmm. We don't really have anything going on per se other than, you know, the draft in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, agreed. And I would tell you that I loved that Dennis Allen went out to Cali to see him and spend time with him. And mm-hmm. I just thought that was great. The Michael Thomas thing, I mean, he's made a couple of tweets about Jameis. I was about to say Teddy, about Jameis. And it's clear he's on board with it. And I feel so excited, even though we need help on the receiving core. I just feel excited for the possibilities that are going to be this season.
Yeah. If they can get a solid wide receiver too. I mean, it came out, they re-signed Traquan, which if y'all follow me, you know, I went, why? And yeah, I understand, you know, he's a good blocking, wide receiver, but the problem I have is he's not an upgrade.
No.
When Emmanuel Sanders was here, I felt confident. Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders was a Band-Aid. He's older. He's up in age towards the end of his career, but at least we could count on him. Same thing with Ben Watson. Ben Watson was the last solid tight end that we had.
Ben was
up in age. Yeah, but I mean, he got the job done. And then also that sense of that veteran leadership for some of these younger guys that they're lacking in that receiver room, because think about it. With Michael Thomas not there, who was the leader on wide receiver? Callaway? But how long has he been with the Saints?
Oh, poor kid. It was his first season, right?
Yeah. So you can't put a price on veteran leadership in the locker room. People don't realize a lot of things. These guys hang out outside of work.
Yep.
You know, Mark Ingram talked about it, that, you know, they go out to dinner, you know, that they'd hang out. They get to be friends with family. If they've got kids, you know, they do functions together. It's not just what you see on the field. You build those relationships and you build that trust. And Jameis had worked in the offseason with a lot of our wide receivers. Mm-hmm. He goes down and then you lose that. You lose that trust and that continuation and relationships that people build. So it's not so much Taysom's fault, because the year before, Taysom wasn't a quarterback.
No. And
he didn't have the time or the relationships built with these guys. To me, it's like, I know Michael Thomas has got to be excited because he's got a QB with an arm that can get it down the field 50 yards. So if Michael Thomas comes back 100% and he gets that separation and gets down the field that we know that he can, man, watch out.
Right.
You know, you're going to see a lot of Jabu to Can't Guard Mike connections and hopefully in the end zone.
It's going to be epic. It'll be like the back in the day when Drew used to throw to Marcus and we would just like watch the
It was a
thing of beauty to watch.
One of the most underrated players. One, because he had such great character. He was such a good guy. His nickname was Quiet Storm. You never heard anything from him. But just to watch him and Drew connect was just a thing of beauty. And I still feel like that he never got the respect that he deserved.
Because he did among Saints fans.
Seventh round draft pick out of Hofstra. Yeah. And in New Orleans, I mean, you know, we loved him and respected him and want to put a statue outside of the Superdome of him for everything that he did. But nationally, the respect just wasn't there. And I think it's because he wasn't one of those explosive, look at me, showboat type players.
Yep.
He didn't do the dances in the end zone. He didn't do all those things when he did press conferences, I should say, which is very, very few and far between. He wasn't a showboat guy. You know, he's very humble and you love that and you respect that. I miss him. I miss Lance Moore. I miss a lot of our old guys because it was good, fun football. But it's the new era, and we've got Jameis Winston, Jabu, and his awesome arm, and I'm excited to see what he can do. I'm ready for our guys to come back. We've got the draft in 2 weeks. Please sign somebody. Do something. Get Jameis some help, whether it be on the O-line, get some wide receivers, and let's roll, because he's ready. I'm ready. I don't know about you. You ready?
Yeah, agreed. I want to see Taysom tight ending all over the place. What does that mean? It means just blocking dudes and
hitting guys. Like we said last week, he likes to hit. Please.
Yeah, he likes to hit them, just knock them over, run through them with the ball, knock them down so that AK or Mark can run. Like, you just do it. And I just want to say, Emmanuel Sanders hasn't been signed anywhere, and it wouldn't kill us just to, like we did with Ben Watson, just to bring in that seniority.
A quick band-aid let's just say we draft a wide receiver in the first round.
And then you can coach him. Emmanuel Sanders has so much.
Yes. A lot of it. I mean, this is a good wide receiver class. So a lot of them may be ready to start, but I mean, hey, bring in that veteran leadership for at least, you know, this season and see what can happen. Cause he knows our offense. I don't think that much is going to change on the offense. I really don't.
And he's a good guy. Like,
I really like him. Jeff and I talked about that, and he always made the joke, like, you made it happen. You willed it happen. Cause I was like, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is out there, and the next thing there he was. Just like I was like, we need to bring Mark Ingram, and the next thing you know, Mark Ingram. But I have yet to win the lottery, so I'm trying to manifest that yet. That still hasn't happened yet. But y'all just won't know. I'm not gonna say anything. The Jazz Fast Cubes came out today. So we now know officially what the lineup is for the Jazz Fest. But if you were listening to us last week, we mentioned this. There's some chatter and on Twitter and on Facebook about a surprise performance. And there's something noticeably missing from the Cubes on Sunday, May 1st from 5 to 7 p.m., there's no performer. It says TBA, to be announced. Mm-hmm. So you heard it here first on Floor Shuli. There's something to that. There's something to those rumors and the rumblings going on. There's obviously they're planning something special. And Sunday night usually is a big performer in the past. Actually, I mean, every night's a big performer, but at that time slot. But I mean, Sunday night, there's something there. So if you've been following with the Cubes, they came out, Lionel Richie, he's the big performer for the first night on Friday. Then we've got The Who, we've got Galactica. Then we've got Sunday night. We don't know what's really going on with that. Earlier in the day, Cowboy Mouth is playing, which we had Fred LeBlanc on the show last year. And they're a local favorite. So I'm kind of surprised they didn't take that time slot. But like I said, we don't know who it is. It could be a big name. Then on the following week on Thursday, you've got Luke Combs. We have Amanda Shaw earlier in that day, who was also on the show. We got the Black Crowes, Busta Rhymes.
Busta.
Then on Saturday, we got Stevie Nicks, Lauren Daigle, who's from Louisiana.
Yep, she's so good.
And she's a Christian pop singer. Melissa Etheridge. I mean, there's some big names.
Huge.
How you got to run back and forth all over the place.
Okay.
And then on Sunday, to close out the festival, you got Trombone Shorty on one stage, Willie Nelson on another stage, Maze, and then Nora Jones.
Wow.
So
this is huge.
But wait, we got Kermit Ruffins, local favorite, who's doing a tribute to Louis Armstrong.
Oh my God. That'll be
this is
awesome.
All at the same time. I'm like, wait a second. Awesome. When y'all looked at this, did y'all see what you're doing to us?
This is mad.
I mean,
Stevie
these
Nicks.
Are all, Come on. Like, I mean, it's just, wait a second. Hold on. No. Y'all need to go back and change some of these times, because you can't be in the same place at once. Louis Armstrong was my daddy's favorite for performer. Yeah. And my dad played trumpet and he had his band. And so it's like, I mean, my dog is Louis Pierre, named after Louis Armstrong. Kermit Ruff is doing a tribute to him. That's awesome. It's a local favorite. But then you've got Nora Jones, great performer. You know, Willie Nelson, he's an icon. I mean, it's amazing he's still performing at his age.
The only way it gets better than Willie Nelson.
Whether you like his music or not, it's amazing that he still performs at his age. The Rolling Stones is another band that's amazing to me that they still perform at their age. And you know, that was one thing the Stones were supposed to perform, and then COVID happened. And wouldn't that be insane if that's the one who takes that spot?
I know.
I think there would be some leaks at this point if it was somebody that big.
I don't know.
But just stay tuned to Floor Shuli. As soon as we find out, you're going to find out. But I mean, Death Cab for Cutie, CeeLo Green, Big Sam's Funky Nation. I mean, Rockin' Doopsie, who's like, I love Rockin' Doopsie. I mean, a lot of these are local, so people are listening and are like, well, they're not big names. But for New Orleans, they are. They are a big name. I mean, these are people that Trombone Shorty's been on national stage. Amanda Shaw, she tours nationally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she just always comes back to New Orleans because this is her home, and she does play a lot of fests. But she's been on the national stage for many, many years. The Who happened to be the halftime show when we
won
the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. Yep.
And how, you know, people were like, the who, but how fitting is it? The Who was the Super Bowl show the year the Saints went in our Who Dat Nation.
Right.
Like, to me, I loved it. It was like fate. But yeah, they're playing on Saturday. I mean, Nelly, who didn't love Nelly back in the day?
Wow.
Nelly was actually on a float. He was with Grand Marshal Parade last weekend, the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Baton Rouge with Todd Graves, the CEO of Raising Cane's. I mean, that's a crazy combo.
I know it. I'm just jealous that I'm so far away.
I really, really hope that WWOZ does the Jazz Festing in place this year for those people that can attend. Mm-hmm. Because the last 2 years, it's been really successful and it was fun. And I hope they do it again this year. Because it gave people a reason to celebrate no matter where they lived and take part in it. If you can't come here, you know, obviously with the economy, and it's expensive to travel right now, gas prices are through the roof. So, I mean, if you can't make it, it's totally understandable, but you can celebrate no matter where you are, whether you're in Connecticut, Missouri, whether you're in Canada, you know, no matter where you are, you can celebrate. So I really hope that they do that this year, and I'll put a bug in their ear because I said that last year, they need to continue this. But yeah, excited for that. A lot of great things are going on. Overall, I feel like almost into the heart of spring. I got my first snowball last week, posted about it online. It was absolutely delicious. So the snowball stands are open, crawfish or a plenty. They're still a little high in price. They'll come down eventually. And then, of course, we've got Lent with Fishy Fridays. So a lot of awesome things are happening in New Orleans. If you're thinking about planning a small vacation, book your flight or gas up your trucks, cars, and come on down. Hit us up online. We'll give you all the suggestions of where's a good places to go eat, those hidden gems to hang out.
Love it.
But I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight on Floors Truly. As always, you can catch me. I'm Tina at The Nola Girl on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And then you can also catch us on Facebook. It's Floors Truly Podcast, Floors Truly Pod on Twitter. And Georgette, you can tell everyone where they can find you and come join the fun online as well.
Absolutely. You can find me on the Twitter at Georgie68. That's Georgie with two E's.
I hope everybody has a fabulous week. And we will see you next Tuesday on Floors Truly.
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.